This is News Talk.
We're getting a little bit of a break from COVID-19 on the front of most of the newspapers. It is mentioned, I'll come to that shortly. The Irish Examiner has a story about Budget 2020, which is due in 13 days' time. And we're told that there'll be no €5 increase in the old age pension or any return to the €350 a week pandemic unemployment payment in next month's budget. Cabinet sources from across the coalition have said there's just €900 million in unallocated spending for ministers to fight for, meaning very few new initiatives will be approved. It's quite interesting reading the Examiner this morning. We're told that Minister Michael McGrath doesn't want any kite flying ahead of the budget. You know the way usually they throw an idea or two out, let it run in the papers and see what the public reaction is to it. So we're told he doesn't want any kite flying. And then, on the front of the newspaper, we've a load of different ideas and things that are going to be happening in the budget. So, there'll be no increase in across-the-board welfare payments. So that gets rid of the €5 increase to the weekly old age pension. Very interesting to watch how that flies with Fianna Fáil, who for a number of years are advocating for the €5 increase. So that's going to be an interesting one to see how that'll go down with some voters. As I say, the €350 pandemic unemployment payment will not be reinstated. There'll be €9 billion in COVID-19 specific spending for next year to deal with health and social welfare costs. There's going to be another €2 billion in health spending available during COVID-19 to add to the base, which will push the overall health budget above the €20 billion mark. And the Christmas bonus, which is worth 100% of a recipient's normal weekly social welfare payment, isn't yet provided for in the budget, but it will be paid, we are told. And we already know that income taxes won't be increased. So that's the Irish Examiner. The Irish Times on the budget says they've a look at sort of what the Department of Finance is feeling about the economy at the moment. And they say the pandemic won't hit the economy as hard this year as previously feared, but a jobs crisis in the domestic economy is looming, with high unemployment expected to remain next year as a result of business closures. Updated forecasts by the Department of Finance prepared for the budget say that the effects of the pandemic will continue to damage the economy next year, but the I suppose really it's not as bad as they thought. Or maybe when they looked last spring, they thought the finances were in a really serious place. They obviously are, but it's not as bad as they thought. So maybe that's some positive to take. Also an interesting story in the front of the Irish Times about Minister Michael Darcy, former Minister Michael Darcy, of course, who's now taken up a job in the financial sector. And they have on the front page the job specification which Michael Darcy got, the job of the Irish Association of Investment Bankers. And according to the job specification, the chief executive's responsibilities were to include ensuring that the association's policies and views are clearly communicated in a timely manner, in particular to government departments and regulators. And under law, ministers and senior officials leaving their positions must take a 12-month cooling-off period before doing any lobbying work. Interesting to see what SIPO will say about all of this. The Irish Independent front page, new plan to cap damages for pain in personal injury cases. We'll be discussing more of that on News Talk Breakfast this morning. But the government has been told it can move to cap personal injury payouts without resorting to a referendum. This was the fear, of course, is that if we tried in any way to reform personal injury and a perceived compo culture out there, that we need a referendum. And obviously difficult to have a referendum in a pandemic, but apparently now they don't need that at all. It's quite simple under what the Law Reform Commission is saying to cap damages for personal injury cases. And obviously this would have implications for insurance premiums that everyone is paying because of some payouts which some people would think are quite excessive. Others would say, you know, that it is what it is. That's what you get paid if you suffer a personal injury. The Irish Daily Mail does have a story about COVID on the front page. Cities such as Cork and Galway, where pubs and house parties are being linked to COVID-19 cases, could be on level 3 lockdown by the end of the week. Ministers have told the Irish Daily Mail that large urban centres face tighter restrictions while quieter rural areas may escape them. That would be interesting because up until this point, we've had, you know, killed Kildare, Dublin, Donegal under different restrictions to the rest of the country. This seems to be suggesting that you could have a city versus county. So, for example, you could have Galway City that would face level 3, and then like Connemara would still be under level 2. Interesting to see if that'll be done this week. Obviously, they're appearing before the COVID-19 committee today. We might get more about that. If we have the health minister and the acting chief medical officer, they might think to say to TDs and senators, look, there is a risk of things happening, you know, counties being moved to level 3 by the end of the week. NPHET meets tomorrow. It's more likely a decision will be made at that meeting, and then they'd recommend that to cabinet. The Irish Sun, excuse me, students party like it's COVID-19 space 99. Very clever headline. Partying students face being booted out of college if they flaunt strict COVID-19 rules. It comes as throngs of young revellers. I haven't heard reveller in a while. There we go. Throngs of young revellers through large late-night freshers' parties in Galway and Cork. Now they're being warned you could be booted out of college. Irish Daily Mirror. Boozy students face uni boot. Party-loving students who break COVID-19 guidelines have been warned they face being kicked out of college. This is a tricky one for the government and NPHET. The reason being that up until this point, they've been very clear to say young people have been phenomenal. If you listen to Ronan Glynn, if you listen to Micheál Martin, Stephen Donnelly, they'll all say young people have been absolutely incredible through all of this pandemic. If we start to change the language to you could get kicked out of college, or we're going to crack down on areas where young people are gathering, that changes the communication with young people. It's going to be a tough one for them to try and manoeuvre, because the positive messaging would have to change. And look, you can understand, I mean, listening to the hard shoulder yesterday, people texting in about it, I mean, you can understand why some people have sympathy for young people, particularly like, look at the sixth years this year. They didn't have a normal leaving cert, they didn't have a normal final year in school, it's certainly not a normal college year, the vast majority of them haven't been able to go do any sort of travelling abroad, can't even get a part-time job in a lot of cases because the jobs aren't around, so it's difficult. But then look, we are in a pandemic and it's about public health. It's not just about, you know, not being able to socialise. Irish Daily Star front page, Killer Joe drops murder appeal. Joe O'Reilly has ditched his plans to appeal his conviction for murder in the European courts. And the Star has an interview with Rachel Callaly's mother, Rose, who said she was relieved. And it's good to know that, she says. Hopefully, please God, he never gets out now. That's a quote from Rose Callaly there. Now, two interesting stories to do with housing. And first one, the Daily Mail. Helen Bruce is writing about this trend of buyers who are looking to relocate in rural areas. And we heard this earlier in the week as well, that people are kind of deciding we're not going to live in the city anymore. We don't need to live in the city. Maybe we don't need to be in the office anymore. So go and live in a rural area, get more bang for your buck. If the broadband allows, move there and work from home. And that's being cited as a reason why there was a massive bidding war for a bungalow in County Donegal. Lovely looking bungalow, I have to say. It's a 4-bedroomed detached home near the scenic Donegal coastline. And there was 135 bids for the 4-bedroomed detached home. And it had a reserve price of €95,000. How much do you think it went for? €231,000. That's 2.5 times its reserve price. And that's because there was a bidding war involving 12 people over 3 hours on a property website, youbid.ie. Just incredible. And it really does show more and more people just want to live in the countryside, have a bit more, you know, of a mix in lifestyle. We'll go from one housing story to another, the total other end of the scale. This is in the Star. Pierce Brosnan, a fine Navan man, he's put his stunning Californian home on the market for $100 million. I'll tell you, it pays off to be James Bond, doesn't it? The former James Bond actor has decided to sell his Thai-inspired retreat in Malibu, which was his home for 20 years. Now, it's not just one house, it's two houses, which is kind of built into one. He basically bought next door and decided to convert it all into one. It's guarded by a pair of carved teak gates, and the grounds are filmed with palm trees, tropical flowers, courtyards, wraparound lanais, the LA Times says. And you want to know what's in it for 100 million? Well, on the main level, there's a great room and a kitchen filled with crystal counters. On the lower level of the house, there's a cinema with tiered seating, a music room and a recording studio. And then the spa adds two saunas, a steam room, a Japanese soaking tub. We know that as a bath, of course, but it's called a soaking tub here. A cold plunge and a shower. And then the second story has a library, a balcony overlooking the courtyard, and an owner's suite with a sitting deck and an expansive deck as well. There we go. He's a long way from Navan, isn't he now? Final story for you from The Express this morning. And this is about words that people under 30 don't know that maybe people over 30 were using. So words such as bonk, suzzled, Wally and Randy could die out within a generation. They're among a long list which are leaving younger people scratching their heads. 40% of 18 to 13 year olds have never heard of the word sozzled. That's obviously someone who drinks. While 37% were unfamiliar with referring to a man who behaves dishonourably as a cad. Talk about a way to make us feel old. The top 10 most baffling words for people under the age of 30, from 10 down to 1. Balderdash, bounder, never heard of that myself actually, trollop, boogie, nincompoop, betrothed, wally, bonk, cad and sozzled. You might be surprised, maybe you haven't heard half of them yourself. Anyway, let me know. 53106 at a cost of 30 cent. Those are the stories making the headlines in today's papers.
On 106 to 108 FM and newstalk.com. This is Newstalk.